Today we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 13, among other, and also we'll be looking briefly at the Great Commission passage, Matthew 18. So Ephesians 4, Matthew 18, it'll be on the screen, this past couple, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, we've been discussing what it means to be part of a healthy church, and today we'll be talking about living out our vision. This is a thing that I know that youngsters like to do. This is a revolving door, and I remember when I was a kid, I liked to go around and around and around, and I know many other kids like to do that, and sometimes maybe you get stuck. I don't know. You know, the reason for a revolving door, as far as I know, being a northerner, is that it's very cold out, and a revolving door actually helps keep the weather in or out. So I guess in the summertime here is really hot, so it'll keep the heat from coming in. And in the northern climates, it'll keep the cold from coming in. So usually you would see if there's doors on the side of a revolving door, they would say, use revolving door. And that's to save energy. But of course, it's fun for kids and the like. The reason why I put this illustration up is that churches, and I think our church in particular, is kind of like a revolving door. We have a lot of people coming in and out over the years. And Pastor Wong, I just prayed for him. Ruth's father was pastor here for many years. And I remember when he was transitioning off about, I think it's been about 4 years now, when he left the position at the church and he went to resume doing missions. He was telling me that if he didn't continue to have a connection with our church, which he does, because when he's not speaking around or traveling, he does come and speak, and he does come on Wednesday prayer meetings. So he still maintains a connection. But he said that if he didn't have a connection, and you know, he was just in another country or located in another place, he said most likely after 4 or 5 years, if he came back, the church would change so much that probably the majority, maybe up to 75% of the people, wouldn't even know him anymore. And so this is someone who's a pastor here for 10 plus years, and he was saying the reason because of it is because of this revolving door. We have in Columbia here, we'll have a lot of students at USC or CIU, and they're here for a short time, and then they kind of come in, and then some of them become Christians or get equipped, and then they cycle out. We have visiting scholars, we have professors, and some stay for a short time, some seek tenure, and if they don't get it, then they need to go to other places. So there's other people who aren't even affiliated with the university may come in and may leave. Some people decide to go to other churches, and then you leave for that reason, or they may move, and they may move to the other side of town. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that people may cycle out, but we also have people cycling in. And so part of the realizing that's the situation, the church has historically wanted to promote having a healthy church that helped the members and those who were part of the church, the body, to grow and to be equipped and to be part of a healthy church, so then when they move out to whatever context that they might be in, they can continue serving the Lord and doing His work. And so this is one of the reasons why over these past weeks we've been talking about membership covenant. And our church does have a members covenant. And if you're baptized or you want to become a member, we would have you look through and sign a members covenant. Now, a lot of churches don't have them. A lot of churches do. And we've like to have it. And this is, we've been doing this for years and years, is I think partly because we want to set the expectations of what it means to be part of the body of Christ. We're not just a social club. We're not just here to hang out and to have a good time and have lunch together, but we're here for a purpose, and the purpose is to encourage one another and to grow in the Lord. And so Pastor Kunming and I, over probably end of last year and ongoing, we've been working on a new members covenant. The one that we have is pretty good, but it's probably, it's a very theological document that was from many years ago, and we kind of want to update it a little bit and fit a little bit better our current context and vision. And so the kind of the main points of the covenant, and I have a copy right here. This isn't quite finalized, and when it is finalized, we'll hand them out, and we'll probably go through it again, maybe in some classes, and ultimately we would like everyone to sign and be in agreement with it. But we have 5 points, and I guess I don't know why they're all number ones. It should be 1 through 5. PowerPoint. They're all important. That's the best answer. I guess that's what God wanted us to realize. But we will protect the unity of the church. So that means acting in love towards one another, building one another up, and the like. We will share responsibility of our church, which means praying for our church, inviting others to attend and take part in our church by welcoming those who visit, by being part of our missions outreach to the world. I will serve the ministry of my church, and so we will seek to discover and utilize our gifts and talents and abilities. We will be equipped to serve. We will serve with a servant's heart. So these are some aspects of that. And then I will support the testimony of my church, and that means attending faithfully, living a godly life, giving regularly, caring for one another. And we've gone through all of these over the past several months, and if you want a reminder, there are messages that are online. We kind of broke it up. I gave some. Pastor Kunming gave some. I think Dr. Ezekiel Hsu gave some. So we kind of did a team approach. And then finally, number 5, and it's last but not least, I will live out the vision of my church. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. And so living out the vision of the church, we want to seek to live as a disciple. And then we want to learn about God and the Bible, grow in our spiritual walk, and serve according to our spiritual gifts and talents. And along the lines of our vision, this last 3 points, actually all of these points, are a reflection of the vision of our church. And if you remember that, we had preached through this earlier in the year. And so we're kind of, everything is kind of converging now in terms of what we've been doing, seeking to share and promote the vision of our church and also a healthy church. And now we're back around to the vision. Chinese Christian Church of Columbia's vision is to be a Christ-centered community that seeks to make disciples who learn, grow, and serve in the Lord. And so if you look at number 5, we seek to live as a disciple, and then by learning, growing, and serving. That is the vision of our church, and that is something that we would like all of us as a body to be part of and working towards. So the first thing that we see and we'll talk about is living as a disciple. I'm not going to be necessarily going through all the points, but I'll be touching on several of main points today. But living as a disciple, and that is from Matthew 28:19-20. Can we read that together? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is probably the most preached passage in our church. Pastor Wong, because he's a missionary, was a missionary, continues to be a missionary, had a very strong missions emphasis and helped our church to even develop that in a greater way. But in doing so, he preached on this a lot, and we have a lot of missionaries coming through who preach on it a lot. So there's probably not a lot more than I can say. But the main verb in this is make disciples. In the English language, we tend to think that the main thrust of the passage is to go. But the main thrust of the passage is to make disciples. And how do we do that? We do that by going and by baptizing and by obeying. And so those are the supporting verbs of the main verb to make disciples. So as a church, we want to be a church that makes disciples, but also a church that we live out discipleship. And I think I have the Chinese version of the slides. Those of you who speak Chinese, you can take a look. But the definition of a disciple is Mathetes, I haven't done my Greek in a while. It occurs a lot in the New Testament, 269 times. The disciples were actually first called Christians in Antioch. The name that Christians, believers, the church called themselves for the most part before the name Christian was disciple. Other words that were also used were saints and brothers and sisters. Christian is maybe one of the more common terms now that we use in terms of identifying followers of Jesus, but it was actually given as more, probably scholars think this was more of a derogatory word that was used against Christians, these little Christs. They did it to attack Christianity. But it's interesting, Christians, disciples of Jesus, embraced the word, and it actually became, instead of a negative word, a positive word. But ultimately, we want to seek to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, and that's what it is. It's a disciple is a learner, a pupil, a follower of a teacher, in this case, Jesus, and also being imitators of their teachers. And that kind of goes along then with this idea of being a Christian, being a little Christ. Those of you who are probably 35 years age and older would know this commercial. Be like Mike. Do you know who that Mike is? Does anyone know who's a younger one?
Michael Jordan.
Well, you're older, so. But that's Michael Jordan, yes. There's some commercials that he did. Be like Mike. I want to be like Mike. And he was the big basketball star. Now, I guess now it would be Stephen Curry and LeBron James. But at the time, Michael Jordan was the guy. And I guess he's still pretty big. He, I think, owns a basketball team, and you can still get Michael Jordan basketball shoes. So he's still there, but there was this whole ad campaign, I want to be like Mike, and there was a generation of basketball younger players growing up. Michael Jordan, when he used to fly through the air and make baskets and stuff the ball, would do so with his tongue out. And one of the interesting things was a lot of players then used their tongues and had them out because they wanted to be like Mike. Maybe a little bit gross, but nonetheless, people try to emulate their sports stars. Maybe I need another one. Cross it out. Be like Jesus. That's what we want to seek to be. As a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, we want to seek to be like him, and we want to learn from him, and we want to live out our discipleship in a manner that's worthy of him. So let's seek to be like Jesus. In terms of living out our discipleship, we are also called to be equipped to serve. Now, this is from Ephesians 4:11 through 12, and this was also a passage which we had preached through when we talked about the vision of the church. So there might be a little bit of review, but we see here that Christ gave leaders of the church, evangelists, pastors, teachers, prophets, to equip people to do works of service. And the word equip means making someone or something adequate or sufficient for some purpose. The word equip is also used in the Gospels referring to fishermen, the fishermen that Jesus came upon who were mending their nets. And so if you're mending or making a net, what is the purpose of the net? The purpose of the net is to catch fish. And the net is a means to catching those fish. I think this actually fits in well. When Jesus called his disciples, he said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And Jesus wanted to take his disciples, and he wanted to equip them to no longer be fishermen, but to be those that were equipped to reach men and women the world for Christ. And this can have a similar connotation in all aspects of ministry, in whatever type of ministry that one may be doing in terms of worship team. A worship team might be a good example because we don't just let people come up, and maybe there's some in our church that are younger and playing, they're really good at piano, but just because someone's good at an instrument doesn't mean we just put them on the worship team. Usually we would have them begin a process of being part of the youth worship, and then after kind of getting used to that and getting some training, then at some point when we would feel that they're mature and understand what worship's all about, we would begin integrating them on the worship team. But there's a whole aspect of training in terms of not only skill in instrumentation, but also what it means to be a leader and being one that helps to bring the church in a attitude and a place of worshiping our Lord. And I think that's the case with a lot of different aspects of ministry, where we try to take people from one place and equip them so that they can be proficient in whatever areas God has called them to serve. Reverend Stephen Cole has said, pastors, teachers are to teach the word to help the rest of the body become adequate or prepared so that they may serve the Lord in accordance with their gifts. The word evangelist, pastors, teachers, a lot of scholars think pastors and teachers is actually a hyphenated word. It's not, they didn't have hyphens in the Greek, but that these kind of two went together. But those like me, or even others like Dan, who helps lead the youth ministry and teaches Sunday school, I think even those of our teachers who have a teaching ministry, our goal is to teach the Word of God, that we may know the Word of God, that we may live out the Word of God, and by so being equipped in terms of our character, but that can also be utilized in terms of growing in our being equipped for various areas of ministry. So the role of the leaders is not to necessarily be the workers of ministry, but to equip everyone to do ministry. And this is where we have this saying, and I know that I preached about this previously, every member a minister. Yes, I am a minister technically, but biblically what we see is everyone in the church should be a minister and minister in some way. Some of you, maybe not too many people, know this particular pastor, Joseph Chun. He was a pastor at our church beginning in 1993, and he served until 2001, and that's the point where Reverend Phillips came in, and then Pastor Wong after him. So Pastor Chun, I don't think I've ever met him. Maybe he came to visit sometime, I'm not sure. Was our pastor, and in his tenure, he, in working with the leadership team and the board, came to this, we're trying to work through a vision of the church and to deal with this aspect of our church that we are a revolving door, that there's a lot of people coming in and out. And one of the things that they really focused on in terms of the planning was equipping, to be an equipping church. And that would mean as people come in, they are encouraged in their walk with God to be a disciple, but also to be equipped to do ministry. So then wherever they go, they can serve the Lord and they can continue to serve the Lord. In a sense, then those who have come through our church and have been equipped, our ministry has extended through all parts of the United States and all parts of the world. Part of this happens with seminary students and students from CIU. Many who come into our church, we want to encourage them in their studies. And part of that encouragement not only is to help them and enable them to have a place of fellowship and learning, but also giving opportunities for them to grow in their spiritual gifts. And that might mean some of the students or even their wives teaching Sunday school classes or being involved in worship or in discipleship or in preaching. And so we want to have our students be equipped so then they can serve the Lord in a greater capacity as a minister of the gospel wherever they are. But it's not just those who are in seminary. It's anyone who's coming through the doors of our church. We want to see them equipped and able to serve here and then ultimately wherever God may place them. And so we want them to be in a place where they can serve and maybe even lead, if not here, somewhere else. And so we want to also seek to be an equipping church. And that's actually where this whole notion of of our vision statement, Learn, Grow, and Serve, came out of the ministry of Reverend Chun and the leadership at that time. So this idea of learning, growing, and serving in the Lord has been part of our church vision and culture for many years, and this past year we really want to emphasize that once again. Secondly, in the passage, we're called to unity. Actually, this would be third, because the first was being called to discipleship. The second is equipped to be a disciple. And then lastly, called to unity. Until we all reached unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, when I look at the passage, and if I can see it here, it's to equip people for the body, for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. And so we want the body of Christ to be built up. We want, and later on in the passage, it talks about that we want to bring the church, we want to bring people in the church to a point of maturity. And that's what I've talked about in the past when we talked about vision in terms of what it means to building up the body of Christ. But the body of Christ is built up when? Until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. And I wanted to focus on unity because unity is important. We're all human and we're under sin and we have what's called a sin nature or the flesh that we're all dealing with. And so whenever you bring people together and even people who are seeking to know the Lord, there's a tendency and usually a good possibility of conflict. And as a church body, we want to seek to be unified and try to work through our problems and issues. And unity is really important in this letter of Paul to the Ephesians. The Apostle Paul earlier in chapter 2, if you want to read it sometime, talks about the division between Jews and Gentiles. And Gentiles were coming to know Christ, and there was already Jewish believers. And it says that God breaks the dividing walls of these people and the Jews and the Gentiles, that they may serve together as one in Christ. Ephesians 4, 3 to 6 really emphasizes Paul's desire for unity. And he says that we are striving. There's seven instances in this one verse where Paul uses the word one. Well, actually, yeah, uses the word one. Verse 3, he says, we strive to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So Paul has a desire for a unified church, that we have a unity of spirit. And then in verse 4, he gives seven ones. He says, one body of peace, one body and one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. I think he wants us to get the point, and he does it in Greek, a very poetic way, to emphasize that we are to be one in Christ. As Christ and the Father are one, so too we are to be one. And then in verse 7, he goes on and says, but to each one of us the grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So what he's saying is now he continues the one in verse 7 and saying that each one of us is given God's grace. So individually, God gives his grace in us, but also as individuals, we're not to just work for our own benefit, but for the benefit of the church. And that's what we're to seek, to seek unity in the body of Christ. And I like this picture because there's a lot of, I think, ethnic groups and peoples that are symbolized in these hands. And of course, we're a Chinese church, but even in our Chinese church, I think we do have diversity. We have, what I've learned over the years is that people who are Chinese, who are from mainland China, who are from Hong Kong, and who are from Taiwan, and who are from Malaysia, and who are from Indonesia, are all culturally Chinese, but there's also, though many similarities, there's also many differences. Pastor Kunming has actually shared with me that he feels that there's a big difference between Northern Chinese people and Southern Chinese people, which maybe is similar in the U.S. We have Northerners like myself, and we have people who are Southerners and part of Southern culture, and we're American, we're culturally American, but there are differences. So within Chinese, there's differences. There's even differences in language, Cantonese and different languages. But then you have generational differences, young and old, and that can even happen with young people who are from China, and there's generation gap. But then in churches like ours, we have those who are born and raised here, ABCs, and we have OBCs, those who were born overseas. So we can have a cultural gap, those who are culturally American or more American, and those who are culturally Chinese. And then you have others in our church like myself, and throughout the years there's been others. Patrick and Charlotte are not Chinese, if you can tell. Charlotte's from Europe, the Netherlands, so we have people from different countries. We've had African Americans that have attended. We've had people from Philippines. So we have a church that I wouldn't necessarily call we're an international church, but we do have international flavor, and we do have different cultures and ages and people and generations. And in all of that diversity, we want to seek a unity in Christ that we can work together and be a church that seeks to further God's kingdom. Now, in seeking unity, though, it doesn't mean that we put aside our diversity. We don't want everyone to be cookie cutter and to be the same. We have to recognize our diversity. And I put this picture on Jews for Jesus as a ministry throughout the world, but it's people who are Messianic Jews who have Jewish backgrounds or maybe at least are called to a ministry to Jews. And the way that Jews for Jesus and Messianic Jews worship is often is different than how us Gentile churches would do so. They would observe a lot of the Jewish holidays. They would observe Yom Kippur and Passover and the like, not because that it's required under the law, but because they want to maintain a connection with their Jewish roots, and they want to seek to reach Jews to accept Jesus the Messiah as Savior. And so even today, there is a division, in a sense, between Messianic Jews and Gentile Christians. But I think that wall has been broken down, and I think we can work together, and any animosity that there was in the very early church went away a long time ago. But nonetheless, there's still areas that can divide us, but rather than dividing, hopefully we can see our differences as a means of recognizing the diversity in the body of Christ, and even having a more robust faith, because we have people of all walks of life seeking the Lord together. So what is our challenge for the coming week? Well, there's a lot in this passage, and I think we can apply it in many different ways, but one main way that I see is to follow. We're called to be a disciple of Christ, and no matter what stage in life that we are, young or old, or we've been a Christian a little bit or a long time, God is calling us to follow Him. And as I mentioned before, Jesus called His disciples, "Come follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men," or of people. The men in the verse is anthropoi, which means men and women. But we're called to be followers of Jesus. And that is something that I think we realize we should know as a disciple, we're a follower. But it is not unusual, and it can be easy to kind of get off the path and to begin looking at different and pursuing different aspects of life that may not be quite in accordance with what God wants us to do, or we may begin focusing on things that we shouldn't or doing things we shouldn't. So we're called back to be a follower and to follow Christ and acknowledge Him as the Lord of our life. And then we're called to live out our discipleship by pursuing the vision we see in the Bible, the vision for our church to learn, to grow, and to serve. And as we seek the Lord in His Word and through study of the Word, as we seek to grow together in fellowship, as we seek to serve together, as we are equipped, and as we help the body mature, I think that we can hopefully become a more healthy church, but then we can also be a church that can not only have a good reputation in our community, but can also be a light to our community, one that would be attractive to people who don't know Jesus as they begin to interact with us and we interact with them and begin to share the love of Christ to others. So, we are continuing then with our focus this year on learn, grow, and serve. And hopefully each of us individually, but also as a body, can really implement this in our walk with God as we seek to follow Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your love and for your grace and for your word. And indeed, help us to follow you, Lord, no matter what, and to implement in our lives everything that you want us to do. And help us, Lord, to be a people who carry out your vision of learning and knowing more about you and applying your word to our life and growing together and being unified in the body of Christ. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.